Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, Text 32. Yadricha Chopapanam Svargam Dwaram Upavritam Sukhina Kshatriya Parata Lavante Yudam Idrisham Yadrichaya, by its own accord. Close. Cha, also. Upapanam, arrived at. Svarga, of the heavenly planets. Dwaram, door. Pavritam, wide open. Sukhina, very happy. Kshatriya, the members of the royal order. Partha, Osanaprita, Labhante, do achieve. Yudam, war. Idrisham, like this. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport. Please repeat. O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Purport. As the supreme teacher of the world, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting. It will cause perpetual habitation in hell. Such statements by Arjuna were due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in the discharge of his specific duty. For a Kshatriya to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent is the philosophy of fools. In the Parasara Samriti, or religious codes made by Parasara, the great sage and father of Vyasadeva, it is stated, Kshatriyo hi prajarakshan shastra pani pradandayan nirjitya parasanyadi Shitim Dharmena Paliyat. The Kshatriya's duty is to protect the citizens from all kinds of difficulties. And for that reason, he has to apply violence in suitable cases for law and order. Therefore, he has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings, and thus, with religious principles, he should rule over the world. Considering all aspects, Arjuna had no reason to refrain from fighting. If he should conquer his enemies, he would enjoy the kingdom. And if he should die in battle, he would be elevated to the heavenly planets, whose doors were wide open to him. Fighting would be for his benefit in either case. Yadricha chopapanam svargam dwaram uparitam sukhina katriya partha labhate yudam idrisham. O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. There's a philosophy, yatapat, tatapat, I believe. Anything you do is all right. But Krishna doesn't believe that. But then on the other side, people don't believe in Krishna. So they keep on doing whatever they want. In other words, Krishna has summarized it. Asatyam apratishtam te vegaro horanishwaram aparashparam samyutam kimanyakam haitukam. They say, that is, who are they? The demons. And who are the demons? Not people with horns and a tail. Who does Krishna say are the demons? Those who don't believe in him are demons. Actually, ultimately, Krishna will say that those who don't accept Shastra, they're considered to be demoniac. Because the word demoniac may not, people would probably appreciate more the word asura. It has less of a connotation. But Krishna says, Pravitim jana vritim jana navidor asura hisocham api chapuro nasatyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demoniac, Pravitim cha, Nivritim cha, they don't know what's to be done and they don't know what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. They say the whole world is unreal, has no foundation, has no God in control. It's produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. Pravitim Etam drishtim avashtabhya, nashtatmano nabudhaya, pravatnyuga karmana shaye jagatovita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac create horrible and beneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. Just like they think there's no soul. And they think it's all, you know, you believe in a soul, you don't believe in a soul. It doesn't make any difference. You have your opinion, and I have my opinion. I think the animal has no soul, so I can kill and eat it. Now, you may have some sentiment and think it has a soul, so you don't eat it. You worship the cow. And we eat it. But there's no real difference, because there's no factual reality. It's whatever you think, that's real. Of course, they say, well, what about death? Is that real? No, if you don't want to die, you don't have to die. Or I'm not afraid of death. And after I die, I'm just going to disappear anyhow. No problem. So they say like that. In other words, they've lost their intelligence, if they ever had it. They can't perceive how the body's changing, but they're not changing. They don't think there's such a thing as consciousness. The very person who's conscious, they don't believe that there's such a thing as consciousness. They think it's just a combination of material elements make up consciousness. Of course, they can't put together any two elements and make consciousness, but they have faith in it. In the future, they'll be able to do it. They couldn't do it in the past. They can't do it now. They don't know when they're going to do it, but it has to be done, because otherwise, what they're doing is wrong, and that's not possible, because whatever they do is true, is right. Because they are what they are. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is based upon the fact that there's a soul, and there's a controller of the universe. The planets, the sun doesn't rise in exactly on time by accident, nor does it go down exactly in time by accident. It's being controlled by intelligence. And as we can see, intelligence depends upon some living force with consciousness to give it direction. Without intelligence, everything would be random. Why do we have a body? If there was no design behind the body, why don't we put the food in our ears and maybe it'll go into our stomach through the ear? Why do we have to chew it? Why don't we just see if we can put it through our eye and see what happens? Why does everyone have a mouth in all these species of life? Then they got to put the food in the mouth. It's all by accident. Why are we breathing air? Why is there air and we're breathing it? It's all, everything is accident. So why don't they make a machine by accident? It doesn't need any fuel. It makes itself by accident. It reduplicates itself. Or why don't they make a machine that thinks by accident? Since by accident we're thinking, so why can't they by accident make a machine, let it think and solve all our problems? They say the computer does that, but someone made the computer. An intelligent person made the computer. Does any computer came about by accident? So the only thing that's an accident the fact that they're given so much prestige, talking all kinds of nonsense. But actually, there's laws behind the material nature. And one of the laws is that everybody, there is a supreme person. The material universe is not without control. As a matter of fact, the controller is absolutely in control. And the whole purpose of life is Jagavai Vishnu. It's to satisfy Vishnu. And satisfy Vishnu means that we have to at least follow his instructions. And part of his instructions is that especially in Kali Yuga, well, here we have to chant Hare Krishna because there are no Kshatriyas. There's probably not Brahmins. There's no Kshatriyas. There's no Vaishyas. There's a whole lot of maybe Shudras. But even them, they're usually Mudhas. They're not really Shudras. And therefore, there's no question of sacrifice. But usually, at least when Arjuna was here, then the idea of Kshatriya was not to go out and conquer lands just for the sake of conquering lands and increasing their material opulence and prestige or whatever. Those who Krishna found who were trying to do that, like Jarasandha or Kansa or others, that's why he came to relieve the burden of the earth of such so-called Kshatriyas. But real Kshatriya means to protect from violence in order so that the sacrifices that people are making, their attempts to assist in sacrifice, could go on peacefully. The farmers could grow their agriculture and produce grains to feed people, and cows could give milk to be made into clarified butter, could be used in the sacrifice. The Brahmins were taught how to chant the mantras. The Kshatriyas were arranged for the sacrifice. And ultimately, Krishna says, Devam bhavayata dena te deva bhavayantuva parashpuram bhavayantakshek paramavapsita. By Krishna's arrangement, the demigods are satisfied by sacrifices, and thus they supply all necessities to man. Istan deva ivo deva dasinte jagabhavita tadata abhradaya vyo yo bhunte sten evasaha. In charge of the necessities of life, the demigods provide all necessities to man, but he who enjoys these gifts without offering them in return is just a thief, stena. We take it for granted that there's clouds, especially in Ljubljana. There's always plenty of clouds sometimes. And they give rain. We think it's all by accident. Well, we don't think. We understand the clouds have been arranged by Krishna, and they come according to our sacrifice. Anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava. That all living entities exist on food grains. What's important is not how big our car is, or how fast it is, or how fast our computer is. What's important is we get something good to eat. That's the bottom line. Without good food, we can't either have a proper physical body, or we can't even think straight. Try to fast for a couple of months, see how well you think. Or at least a month. Or a couple of weeks would be probably a good experiment. No, we're dependent on food grains, but food grains come from rain. And rain comes from sacrifice. So even if we don't believe in God, the Supreme God, at least people believe that there are persons who are in charge of this universe. Even 500 years ago, people used to think like that. They had a God, even in this culture that we're living in, they had this idea that there was a God of the garden, there was a God of the moon, there was a God of nature, there was a God of spring. They were called pagans. They actually believed in gods. They had some idea how things are actually working. They didn't think it was all going on independently. They saw that there was intelligence behind nature and its workings. They understood there must be some intelligent person behind it. Even my mother, who didn't really believe in God, believed in good fairies looking after her. So what are we supposed to believe? This whole world is like a, it's just like a vacant place, and all, everything is good, everything organized is going on by accident. No intelligent person understands this. Intelligent people behind these things, the devas at least, and the devas, according to they, there's a book, a manual, what will satisfy the devas and produce our rain in the right quantity at the right time, and therefore we can get the necessities of life, and with the necessities of life we can actually have higher consciousness, we can actually understand things more clearly. And the most important thing, at least in the beginning, to understand is that we're eternal. Now, whatever is going on in the material world, which is a struggle for existence, is going on. But if we realize we're eternal, we won't be disturbed by it. And as much as we don't realize we're eternal, we're disturbed by everything. Therefore, the most important thing, if we are eternal, and we must be eternal, otherwise, why did Lalita Govinda come in here an hour ago and he's still Lalita Govinda? Why don't we call him something else? Because your body, if you were your body, you have a different body now. So why do we keep on calling you Lalita Govinda? Because the soul is the same. The person who hears the name, he thinks, yeah, that's me. But that represents the person, the conscious person who's hearing it, not the body. The body doesn't hear anything. It's the conscious person who hears it and thinks, that's me. Did your body ever talk back to you and say, wait a second, I'm not Lalita Govinda anymore. I'm Lalita Dasi. No, the body doesn't have any consciousness. It's the soul that has consciousness. And therefore the soul wants liberation from this material concept of life. Prasanatma. Then one becomes joyful. Preliminary to becoming actually happy is becoming joyful. And therefore the kshatriyas, they have their role, as Arjuna had his role, given not by accident, but by shastra. And the role is to protect the citizens so they can perform sacrifice. They can take part in sacrifice to Vishnu and therefore get what they need. Rain, grains, peace, prosperity. Because probably they're not artificial nuts and bolts in the factories or whatever else. Living by slaughtering poor animals and exploiting poor ladies. That's not the goal of life. The goal of life is liberation. Therefore, Krishna didn't appreciate Arjuna's lack of willingness to follow his duty. Because Krishna has experience that anyone who doesn't act for sacrifice, he finds neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. And Krishna is not such a fool as to think that there's no such thing as shastra. That's not possible. There's no absolute truth. Well, Krishna himself spoke it. And anything that you make, any intelligent person to make something, if you make, for instance, when Prabhupada got a dictaphone, there was a manual with it. Although Prabhupada immediately knew how to use the dictaphone, even without looking at the manual. But when you get a complicated machine, along with a complicated machine, they give you a manual. So if God made the universe, he must have given a manual too. Why not? Why couldn't he give a manual called Shastra? Since he made it, he knows how it works. So if you don't believe it, that's everyone's free will. They don't have to believe that there's something called Shastra made, spoken by God, that explains how the universe works. And you're free to do whatever you want and see what the results are. If you go downtown Ljubljana, you can see what the results are. people are so many shops and people are just going from shop to shop. Maybe this will make me happy. Maybe that will make me happy. This didn't make me happy yesterday. Maybe it'll make me happy today. But Shastra tells us how to actually become at least peaceful by realizing who we are, by following, first of all, karma yoga, then jnana yoga. Karma yoga means become detached from the results of the work. Don't worry about what's going to happen because we're eternal. And therefore give up this idea that I have to control everything. And then with some knowledge to understand how to control the mind, how to utilize the mind in such a way is that it becomes purified and clarified so that we don't, by regulating our habits, by giving up misconceptions, come to a purified state of consciousness where we can actually perceive that we're eternal. And we can perceive above that, that there's a person within our heart giving us this intelligence, how to do things. There's a super soul. We're not alone. There's someone supplying us with remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The same person who's created the universe and has given a shastra is also giving us intelligence within our heart for everything we're doing. And he's not only giving us intelligence, even the little ant has intelligence, is being directed by the super soul. So why do we think that we're so much better than the ant is? The same person directing him is directing us. What are we doing so much different from the ant? The ant is getting intoxicated on sugar, and we have a more refined intoxicant. Because sometimes we get intoxicated on sugar also. So when we get intoxicated on sugar, what's the difference between us and an ant? We're just a little bit bigger, that's all. But compared to the demigods, we're smaller than an ant. If a demigod came and said, "Well, you're just a human being and want to step on us," we'd say, "Sure, a demigod, please step on me. I'm just insignificant. You're right here, right here. This is where you step on me." No, we wouldn't be very happy about it because we're conscious. So similarly, the ant is also conscious. Also, Krishna is in his heart fulfilling his desires. And he's in our heart fulfilling our desires according to what we deserve. So therefore, one should appreciate how all living entities, they're just like we are. They're spiritual beings. And we should act appropriately. And what to speak of the fact that this universe is, we didn't put it here. How can we claim that we're the proprietors? Before we came, it was here. And after we leave, it's still going to be here. So how can we claim we're the proprietors? And that we're free to do with it whatever we want. People think the Hare Krishna movement, we're less intelligent because we don't make money, we don't have a big car or a big house, whatever. But actually, they're less intelligent. Because they don't know what actually where their energy should be put, so they can actually take advantage of the value of form of human form of life. Everyone should get necessities of life. Krishna says that. And there's a method of doing that. Whether it's by sacrifice or by chanting Hare Krishna, whatever. So we are interested in getting necessities of life, but we know how to get them with the least possible effort. We don't have to dig into the earth. We don't have to, go deep into the water. We don't have to put things in the sky. We just have to chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna supplies rain. He supplies what we need. And what we really need is higher consciousness, is realization of who we actually are. That's what we really need. And then we can become peaceful. Nashti buddhi yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavyantak shantir, aishantasya kutak sukham. Therefore, one who's not in Krishna consciousness or divine consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So if we realize we're eternal, we'll become peaceful at least. And then beyond that, when we find out the universe is actually created by a loving person who actually has our best interest at heart, who's trying to wake us up to our relationship with him, then we'll stop trying to fight against the material universe. Because all we're doing is fighting against Krishna. Instead, we'll become more peaceful and we'll actually take the time to hear about Krishna rather than trying to solve innumerable problems that arise from our trying to solve problems. Prahlad Maharaj said, the more we try and solve problems, the more problems we get to solve. And that's all we've been doing since time immemorial, is trying to solve problems, but it seems that we haven't solved them all yet. So our real problem is we've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten we've forgotten to use our spiritual intelligence. So we should chant Hare Krishna and see if it works. Read Prabhupada's books and see if it makes sense. Try to serve the deities and see if they're just statues. Talk to the devotees about what their experiences are in Krishna consciousness. And try to live at least in the mode of goodness and see if it's better than ignorance. Anyone wants to go down the street, lie in the street with a bottle in your hand, I'm in bliss. Courtney Tai once went to a house. Lord Nityananda invited Lord Chaitanya to go to a house because this man was supposed to be a guru. So Courtney Tai went to the house and they sat down and the man said, let me bring you some bliss. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what is bliss? He said, no, there's no problem. Let me go and bring you some bliss. So he came and brought some bliss. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is this? And Lord Nityananda said, it's wine. Of course, the man came with he was supposed to be a sannyasi. He came with his wife to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bliss. So Gaur Nitai ran out of the house and threw themselves into the Ganges with their clothes on to purify themselves. Because they didn't need bliss. So they're promising bliss. I saw on the internet, now they have a website. This man he goes to all these concerts and festivals, and he interviews people about the different drugs they've taken when they came to the festival. I don't know what the drugs are. I mean, they're way beyond me. You know, all these new things are there. But that's knowledge of drugs now, the effects of drugs. They have no idea who they are. They have no idea what the purpose of life. They have no idea where they're going after this body. But they're well-versed in other things which are actually not very healthy or productive or whatever. So that's what we're trying to give people, some insight into who we actually are and how to achieve realization of our real selves. We know actually where bliss is. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
You said that today almost everyone is Shudra, but on the other hand we talk about Varnashrama and that we should have the ship. So how to, is it even possible to be spoiled? On the other hand, is it not? Because I have sometimes feeling that you know what to do with life, like besides spiritual practice. So is it not just to just stand by sort of and just practice devotional service and should we aspire for something more to
Well, our duty is, first of all, to become Krishna conscious, then help others become Krishna conscious. Whoever we meet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we don't have to go out with a book bag, although that's nice to do that too. But whoever we meet, we try to tell them about Krishna. After all, everyone is eternal servant to Krishna. It's not like only the devotees would, in this movement are Krishna's servant. Everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Everyone has the potential to go back to the spiritual world, even in one lifetime. So it's our duty to understand that and try to help people as much as we can understand their relationship with Krishna. Because at the end of life, that's the only thing that's going to count, is how much they've made progress towards Krishna consciousness. Everything else is lost at the time of death. Only the reactions to our activities, sinful activities, do we take with us.
Do you think that if we would, I can understand that that's the important thing, no, but on the other side, we are living in this life that we are living outside, that like this.
So
do you think that if, because I sometimes get the impression that the devotees, you are like, you know, some material things doesn't matter to us until they matter.
Well, we should be practical too. We're living in a society which, you know, you need electricity, you need water, therefore we have to organize to get those things. But we shouldn't think that just by my endeavor these things are going to come. We also need Krishna's arrangements.
Yes, but I was thinking maybe if we would be more, you know, like more serious also in everyday normal life, like Prabhupada said, everyone should do something that is outside some honest work and learning for you, for example. Maybe this would also, do you think that it would also influence, you know, this more important and higher, like, spiritual life of community in positive way?
In the Nectar of Devotion, it says one should be careful about practical things in the material world also. We shouldn't be negligent. Krishna is giving us intelligence. Prabhupada wasn't negligent. But we shouldn't get enamored with the material things. Get enamored with them. Enamored, we shouldn't fall in love with them. What we should do is, Prabhupada gave the example of salt to taste. If you're eating food, you have to have enough salt that it has a taste. But if you put too much, then it becomes also very bad. So we have to work in the material world to get what's necessary in an honest way as possible so that we can maintain this body and use it in Krishna's service. As far as, you know, trying to do things to impress other people, you know, I guess the best thing to the people we should try to impress are the people who appreciate cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. Those are the people we should try to impress. Yeah. Try at least appreciative of them, even if they're not in the mode of goodness, they appreciate the mode of goodness. That we should try to come to the mode of goodness. Because that's probably was talking to Professor Katovsky in Moscow. Professor Katovsky couldn't understand that we're not this body, no matter how Prabhupada explained it to him. So then Prabhupada said, at least you should understand that in society we need first-class people. We need people of quality and character. Anyhow, unfortunately, Professor Katovsky couldn't understand that either. But that's what, you know, Prabhupada said, that he was trying to create a class of brahminical men. So even if people couldn't be Brahmins, be clean and truthful and austere and merciful, at least they should appreciate those who are like that. And that will help them elevate themselves to that platform. So at least we should try to do that. And of course, the method we have is not separated from chanting Hare Krishna, especially in Kali Yuga. The chanting actually helps us come to a platform of goodness. Well, we're striving to wash our hands before we eat, and to, you know, have a regulated lifetime, still we need purified consciousness. So the tendency to go down to the lower modes. And that will be achieved by taking shelter of the holy name.
Yes, I also think that it's connected, because also if someone doesn't have, I know for myself, when I didn't have some material things settled, like there should be, I'm more disturbed, so I also have bigger
Yeah, like when Prabhupada dealt with George Harrison, he didn't tell him to shave his head and move into the temple. He said, keep on doing what you're doing, but chant Hare Krishna. And he was helping also the devotees in their service. You know, he spoke favorably about Krishna, he sang about Krishna. But Prabhupada never told him to leave what he was doing and move into the ashram. There are other examples like that too. Yeah, everyone has their necessity, and that those necessities are different from person to person. You had Kolavekar Sridhar living in a hut, selling bananas, parts of banana, and then you had Pundarik Vidyanidhi living like a king. So different varieties were there, but they were all absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They were, whatever they were doing was spiritual. So when I just stane sita shuti gatam danuvang mamudin, Chaitanya Brahma said, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, stay wherever you are, whatever you're doing, but hear from the Vedas and utilize your body, mind, and words, Krishna's service. Stane sita, remain in your position. Anything else? Kala Grantaraj Bhagavad Gita Kijai.